Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 6. Matthew, chapter 6. And we'll begin our reading in just a moment in verse number 19. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19. We have just completed our Old Testament book, the book of Jonah. And our New Testament book is the book of Matthew. And we've come to Matthew, chapter 6, verse number 19. While you're finding your place, let me give you a couple of other prayer requests that were turned in. One of them is a Cheryl DePew. In Holston Valley, this is Darlene McEwen's neighbor. That's also Mrs. Woodard's stepfather, to my understanding. And then also Darlene's cousin Bill Sellers is in the VA hospital. So when I pray here in just a moment after reading our text, let's remember Mr. DePew and also Mr. Sellers. All right, Matthew chapter 6, verse number 19. Jesus again is in the midst of the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 5 through chapter 7. And verse number 19 of chapter 6 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Now I want to draw your attention to the statement made in verse number 21. Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I'm taking my title from this verse right here, and I preach to you on this subject tonight. Where is your heart? Where is your heart? Now let's pray together. We share this thought. Father, we love you today, and I pray you help us to be filled with your power and spirit. As I stand behind this sacred desk and open your precious word, I pray that you help us not to add to it, not to take away from it, but simply preach it for what it really is. We pray for these two requests. We pray for Mr. DePew in Holston Valley and Mr. Sellers in the VA hospital. I pray that you'll touch these folks and bless these folks and encourage them and help them and strengthen them. I pray that through this that you'll do a spiritual work in their life. And Lord, I pray if somebody needs to be saved, I pray you'll save them through it. Bless tonight. I need your help. I need your strength and guidance. Speak to us through the pages of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. David Livingstone labored all of his life in Africa, and it's been reported that he died while on his knees in prayer. But did you know that his heart is buried in Africa? I mean literally buried in Africa. Because see, when he died, they wanted to bring his body from Africa back to London, and they wanted to bury it in Westminster Abbey. When the Africans heard that they wanted to take the body of David Livingstone to London, there was an uproar. They said, and I quote, "David Livingstone would have wanted to be buried here in Africa because his heart was in Africa. But the English insisted, he's our man and we're going to take him home." They came over to Africa to take the body away, but the night before they were going to ship that coffin away, the Africans broke into the hold and they opened the coffin. And they took a dagger, excuse me now, and they cut David Livingstone's heart out of his corpse. And they literally buried his heart under a tree. There's a little village in Africa you can go to today with a sign on it that says, "At the bottom of this tree lies the heart of David Livingstone." See, his body might be in Westminster Abbey, but his heart was in Africa. And I'm telling you something tonight, folks, in the portion of Scripture before us now, this is the thought that I want our attention to be drawn to: where is your heart. In other words, where is your affection? That's what this word heart means. It means your mind, what your thoughts are about, your affection. In other words, do you understand that where your body is, your heart doesn't have to be located in the same place? Is your heart in heaven or is it on this earth? Somebody said, and I quote, "What a man loves, that is his God. For he carries it in his heart. He goes about with it night and day. He sleeps and wakes with it, be it what it may, wealth or pleasure or renown." In other words, what is it that you think the most about? What is it that your affection is set on tonight? Where is your heart? Spurgeon put it this way, and I quote, "This is a grand moral motive for keeping our desires above groveling objects. The heart must and will go in the direction of that which we count precious. The whole man will be transformed into the likeness of that for which he lives. Where we place our treasures, our thoughts will naturally fly. It will be wise to let all that we have act as magnets to draw us in the right direction. If our very best things are in heaven, our very best thoughts will fly in the same direction. But if our choicest possessions are of the earth, our heart will be earthbound." This is what Jesus is talking about. He's bringing out something here in verses 19 to 24, and the main thought that he's talking about is wherever your heart is, that is determined by what you do in this life. In other words, he's saying, I want your heart to be set on heavenly things. I want your heart to be in heaven, not on this earth. And this being the case, there's three things that he brings out to help us understand this. Number one, we see the command in verses 19 to 21. Notice now the language here. Notice it. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal." Now, as we look at this language in verses 19 and 20, we see the Lord is not making a suggestion here. He is giving a command to these people. Therefore, this is not a choice to make. It's a command to keep. Now, I want to look at this together, verse number 19. You can read it there again if you'd like, because I'm going to paraphrase it. The Bible says here, not to lay up. You know what that word lay up means? It means to reserve. It means to amass. It means to heap. It means to hoard, if you will. And verse number 19, Jesus said, don't heap up to yourselves treasures on the earth, because here on the earth, moth and rust corrupts it, and thieves can break through and steal it. In other words, we are not to be consumed with accumulating riches on this earth to neglect of the will of God. Now, folks, listen to me, please. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your family. This is not talking about if you have a savings account, get rid of it. This is not teaching this, because listen to me now, you need to take care of your family. The Bible teaches that if you don't care for your family, you're worse than an infidel. So we understand that this is not teaching, don't keep something up for a rainy day, so to speak. But what it is saying here is that our treasures, now get this now, our treasures, we should be more concerned with our heart being in heaven than on the earth. I'm telling you, he's saying, don't give your heart to something that can suddenly be snatched away from you. That's what he's talking about. Now, it's interesting in this verse here, there's a man who put it this way, in Bible times, much of what was treasured was in the form of costly fabrics like purple and fine twine linen. Along with this, the Lord said, he used the word moth, you see. Other treasure was in the form of costly metals. Alongside this, the Lord laid the word rust beside it. People put their treasures in safe places, so they think. Along beside this, he gives the precaution, there are thieves wandering around down here on earth. In other words, what he's saying is this, when you're accumulating earthly treasure, we must beware of that which rots, that which rusts, and that which robs. He's saying if you put more emphasis on things on this earth and your heart is there, in other words, where your affection is set is where you put your treasures, my friend. And if you put all of your treasures on this earth, he's saying it's not stable here. It's not safe here. There are moths that can eat away at your fabrics. There's rust that can eat away at your metals, and there are thieves that can rob your costly items that you think you have in a safe place. A Bible illustration of this is found in Luke chapter 12. You don't need to turn to it. But in verses 16 to 21, here's what it says. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying, don't be covetous. Don't be materialistic. Don't put your affection and bury your heart on this earth, because this earth is going to flee away, it's going to burn up, and if your treasure's here, your heart will be here, and you're wasting your life. That's what he's saying. Covetousness and materialism will ruin you. Today, great emphasis is placed on money and materials. There's one man that said this concerning money: men dream and scheme and work and worry toward this end. Boy, isn't that the truth? I mean, they dream and scheme. How can I make more? They work and worry about how they're going to pay the payment and all these other kind of things. I'm telling you this, folks. Listen to me now. The Lord Jesus commands us not to pile up treasures for ourselves on this earth. If you do, your heart will be on this earth with it. And it's been said that this earth has a gravitational pull, that if you don't set your heart on things above, the world will pull you down. Now, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. You've got to be careful that you are sending treasure up there, because where your treasure is, verse 21, there will be your heart also. He goes on to say in verse number 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, notice that the practice of laying up treasures is not condemned. He didn't say, don't lay up treasures on earth, and don't lay up treasures in heaven. In other words, the emphasis is not laying up treasures. Do you know that God wants you to be a hoarder? He wants you to be somebody who heaps up treasures. He wants you to be somebody who just keeps gathering and gathering and gathering. He really does, but not for yourself. He wants you to be hoarding it over there. He wants you to be putting it over there. He wants you to be living for over there, because he's saying, where you send your treasure, your heart's going to go right along with it. I'm telling you, the Christian is not to be hoarding things on this perishable earth, but to be hoarding things in the imperishable heaven. Now, folks, what is on your heavenly account? What's on it? What have you sent on ahead that moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves cannot break through and steal? What have you sent on? There's a story told, and I wasn't planning on giving this. I didn't even type it down, but I've got it enough in my mind to where you'll get the basic thought. This is not a true story, obviously, because it's make-believe, but it gets the point across here. There was a rich man that went to heaven. When he went there, there was an angel walking around, and he was showing him all these different houses. He saw this beautiful home, and he proceeded to ask. He said, whose house is that? And the angel called the name of his gardener. This gardener was very poor in this earth, and so on. This rich man said, oh, you must have made a mistake. He said, that man's not used to something like that. The angel said, we make no mistakes here. We simply built out of the materials that he sent us to build for him. They went on down. They came upon this shabby place. Now, we know this is make-believe, because there's no shabby places in heaven, so just bear with me here. I'm just illustrating a point. They go on, and compared to the other house, it's just a little run-down shack, if you will. And he says, whose house is that? And they said, oh, sir, that's your house. He said, I know you've made a mistake now. I'm certainly not used to that. The angel said, I'm sorry. We just used what you sent on ahead, sir. That's all we used. Let me ask you a question. Now, that story's not true. I'm talking about literally going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? But can you pretend with me just a minute? If it did, what's your house look like? You living more for here, or are you living more for there? The story is told of a company of people who were driven off their course at sea and wrecked upon a deserted island. There was no way for them to escape, but they had a good stock of food, and they also had a good supply of seed, fine soil, and obviously, a good sun to work with. In other words, they could raise all that they needed, so there was no danger of them starving to death. But as they started to dig, in other words, to plant, they started to dig, they discovered a rich vein of gold. When they did this, they forgot their planning, and all of them began to dig for gold. Month after month, their gold piled up. Spring passed, and no seed had been put into the ground. Summer came and their wealth increased, but their stock of food grew smaller. And when fall came, famine stared them in the face. At that time, their gold was worthless. They rushed to the fields, they dug the furrows and planted the seed, but it was too late, and soon they died in the midst of their treasures. And I think it's obvious the point that's coming out in that. The devil will try to get you to look for gold when you ought to be sowing seed. Amen. And if he can get you to find one piece of gold and get your mind there and your affections there, he's going to take you down. I'm telling you, the Lord is teaching us a great lesson here. This is what the Lord is warning against in these verses. Do not give your heart and time to the things on this earth, because one day it will perish. But rather, send it on ahead to heaven, where it will not perish and pay dividends for all eternity. A man in reference to laying up treasures in heaven said in reference on how to do that. In other words, how do you lay up treasures in heaven? Well, first you must receive Christ as your Savior. You can't send treasure to heaven if you're not going there, friends. You've got to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Has there been a time when you've trusted Him as I'm talking about really, really believed on Him. And I'm talking about you heard the gospel, you repented of your sin, you received Jesus as your Savior. And then after that, he lays up treasures by serving Christ in sincerity and truth, and by giving himself and his substance that others might know him. I don't think anybody can put it any better than that. The way you lay treasures up there is you trust Christ as your Savior, so now you're in His family, and then you give your heart and your time in truth and sincerity. Everything you have, your time, your talents, your treasures, your money, everything going so other people can hear what somebody told you. Now I want to ask you a question. If based upon your salvation, and what you're doing to get the gospel out, and why you do what you do. That goes back to the last message, you understand. Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you saved? Are you serving God? And are you doing it for the right motive? If you say yes, 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 I'm not asking can you do more, because we can all do more. Nobody's where they need to be. But I'm telling you that if your motive is not right, if you're not saved, or if you're not serving Christ, your heart is on this earth, friends. You know what he's saying? He's saying you have some valuable things. And he's saying, if I gave you this right here, your life, where are you going to plant it? Because where you bury it is where your heart's going to be. For instance, let's take this watch here just a moment. Let's say that this was my highest and treasured treasure. That's not, but let's just pretend with me, okay? This is it, all right? And say that I put it in that chair right there, all right? Question, which one of these four chairs mean the most to me? Do you think I care if you take that one? No? I hope you don't do it now, friend, but I'm saying that I don't care if you take that one or that one or that one, but you better not touch that one. You may tell you why? My treasure's there. And where my treasure is, my heart is there. I think about it. I'm consumed with it. This is what Jesus is teaching. He's saying, what I have given you, life, breath, if you're saved, salvation, all these kind of things, he's saying, don't put it on earth. Put it in heaven. Verse number 21 explains the logic here, where I took the title of the message, is wherever your treasure is, there is where your heart is. Question: do you think more about earth or more about heaven? Do you think more about your circumstances or more about God? Do you think more about your family or God's family? Do you think more about your house or your mansion in heaven? Do you think more about your money or your neighbor across the street? Where's your heart, friends? What are you thinking about? What's your desire for? This is what he's teaching. Then there's a second thing here. Not only the command, but number two, the contrast. We see this in verses 22 and 23. Now this is a continuous thought here. He's just building up on it. Verse 22: the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And the Lord continues with this thought by giving us a difference, a contrast between a single eye and an evil eye. And notice in verse number 22 how he says the light of the body is the eye. In other words, the eye is the place where the body gets direction for motion. For instance, you see where you need to go. If your eye is single, you see where you need to go. This word single means it's healthy. It means that it's clear and properly folded together. In other words, if your eye is healthy tonight, you can see clearly. You're not seeing double. You can see clearly. That means you're looking at one object. It's a single eye. You're looking at one object, and everything's working right. When that happens, your body has light, direction. In other words, I know that I better not step one step further right here, because my eye can see right ahead of me, and because my eye is functioning correctly, it's giving my body light to tell my foot, you don't step another step, sir. You see what I'm saying? This is what he's talking about. Now, stay with me, because he's building on this. He's building on this. Now, if your eye is healthy and functioning right, you know where you need to go. However, on the other side, verse 23, if your eye is evil, the whole body will be full of darkness. Now, the word evil means diseased. It means that it's bad or it's ill, it's sick, it's diseased, it's not functioning right. In other words, if your eye is not healthy, then your body will be led in the wrong direction and can have a tendency to fall down. Because if you're blind, listen to me now, if you're blind, if your eye is diseased and you cannot see out of it, you cannot, listen to me now, I can't see that pulpit right there like I can now with that eye being good. He's saying this: I'm telling you that if you put more emphasis on this earth than you do heaven, you have a bad eye. And you're going to stumble and you're going to fall. And I'm telling you, you're going to have darkness instead of light. But he's saying if your eye is single, that means if it's completely focused right, if you're looking in the right direction, if it's healthy, it's not trying to look everywhere. Look here, your eyes aren't cross-eyed, they're not blurred, they're completely healthy, then you're going to have light and you're going to have the right perspective on life. Now, this being the case, there was one commentator that put it this way: Jesus therefore represents our affections as if they were an eye. If the eye is single, that is, if it sees nothing with a double or confused vision, then the man receives through clear views of the outside world and his inner man is, so to speak, full of light. But if his eye is diseased or blinded, then his inner man is likewise darkened. Applying the allegory to the spiritual man, if his heart is single in its love toward God and the things of God, then he has clear views as to the relative importance and value of things temporal and eternal, things earthly and things heavenly. But if the heart looks with a double interest upon birth, right here, upon both the earthly and the heavenly treasure, it makes the man double-minded and so spoils his life. This is what the Lord's teaching. He's saying, don't try to look in two directions at the same time. Your eyes are made to look at one thing at one time. And that one thing is heaven, not earth. That's what he's teaching. Get your eyes off the earth, put your eyes upon heaven, because if you're trying to do both, your body's going to be full of darkness and you're going to fall down. But if you have your eyes completely focused where they need to be focused, and your eye is single and it's healthy, then your body is going to be full of light and you're going to have the right perspective and understand the way, right here, what the Lord's trying to teach us. Now, Proverbs 4, 25 to 27 says this. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or the left. Remove thy foot from evil. James 1:8, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Basically, what the Lord is saying, listen to me now, he's saying, I want your eyes set in one direction. I want them set on heaven. We are not to have a divided interest. If we look at more than one thing at a time, it'll cause confusion and unsteadiness. Eyes need to be single, not double. Let me ask you a question. You want in both ways? You know what a lot of Christians are like? Oh, I'll go this far for God, but I'm not going any further because I like that too much. I'll do that, but I'm not going to do that. You know what that is? That's a double vision, friends. That's confusion. You know what the Lord's basically teaching here? I know what you're thinking. Why don't you just tell us this and shut your mouth and let us go home? But you know what he's basically teaching us? I want your whole allegiance, not part of it. I want you to live more for here, for there than here. I want you to look to me, not yourself. I want you to send treasures up there. Don't bury them down here. Because if you bury them down here, that means your eyes are blurred. You're not seeing things correctly. Something's wrong somewhere. And all of that is going to burn up one of these days. But if your eye be single and you have the right motive, and you're trying to live right, and you're trying to do the right things, and you're sending it on ahead, he's saying, I guarantee you a moth's not going to eat it there. I'll guarantee you rust will never come inside the gates of that place. And I'll guarantee you one thing, there'll be no thief to break through and steal it. Thief. I don't know about you, but I want to send mine on ahead where it's going to be paying dividends for all eternity. This is what he's teaching us. Then there's a third thing. This third thing is the conclusion. Now this is basically the same thought here. He's building on this same thought. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Who has your heart? Yes, even though your body's here, where's your heart at? Where's your affection? What are you thinking about? What's your desire? Is it heaven or is it earthly? Is it temporal or is it eternal? Let me ask you this. With what you did today, was it more for here or there? It's one or the other. It's not in between. I don't think it's halfway, Jody. There is no halfway with this. You either took what God gave you, your treasure, you either took that today and you either buried it here or you sent it on ahead. Which one did you do? We all have to work on this. Then there's the conclusion found in verse number 24. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, love the other, else he'll hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And the Lord brings this thought to a conclusion in this verse. Now keep in mind, he's commanded to lay up treasures in heaven instead of on earth. He has given the illustration to help illustrate this using the eye and how it's to be healthy and single. Now he concludes by saying, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. And notice in this verse how the Lord Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. You know what the word serve means? It means to be a slave to. The word master means a controller or one supreme in authority. He goes on to say that if this were the case, one would love one master and hate. Now that word hate there means to love less. love them less, okay, and love less the other. In other words, he's saying this. Now, right here, the Lord brings out how you cannot be a slave to two controllers at one time. You cannot serve God and the things of this world at the same time. It is either or, but not both. God does not want our divided interest. He desires and deserves all of our affections. You cannot divide your heart with half here on earth and half sent on ahead. Because he's saying it's not natural. You have one heart. You divide your heart, you're dead, my friends. I'm telling you, he's saying, I want all of your heart. I want the whole thing. Because he's saying only one person can really have all your heart at one time. He's saying you cannot serve two masters. Think about it. A master is completely sovereign, completely over, completely controlling. How can there be two? They're competing against one another at that time. You see what I'm saying? He's saying there can only be one master in your life. And he's saying you cannot serve God and materials at the same time. Either your heart is completely buried on earth or your heart is completely buried in heaven. He's saying don't be divided. Give me all of it. Now, in this portion of Scripture, the Lord is once again teaching us a wonderful truth about the Christian life. We are to give our heart to the things of God, not to the things of this world. Now, if you want an example of this, there was a young man at the age of 22 years old by the name of Jim Elliot. He went with his young wife, not long married, to the Aka Indians to tell those cannibals of the gospel and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. On their first ever meeting with these Indians, Jim Elliot, at 22 years of age, kissed his young wife goodbye and went to meet them, but he never came back. Martyred for the glory of God. They killed him. These cannibals just did away with him. 22 and dead for Christ. Somebody'd say, what a waste. I wouldn't want to be compared to him at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't know about you. But right here's where I'm going with this. You know what he wrote in his diary? This man who died at 22 years old for the glory of God, he wrote this, one of the great blessings of heaven is the appreciation of heaven on earth. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That is what Jesus is teaching in this passage. He's saying right here, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. God has given you time. You cannot keep that time. It's running by. I'm getting older every day, so are you. This is a time. A time is a treasure by Almighty God. He has given us time. Now, are we giving it back to Him? And are we serving Him and sending it ahead? Or are we serving self and trying to heap up treasures and trying to get everything we can get and hoard everything we can get because we think that I'm talking about the more we get, the better we're going to be. Jesus says, if you live that way, you will lose your life. And it's a waste because the moth and the rust and the thieves are running rampant down here. But he's saying, if you take the treasures and you send them to me, he says, I'll protect them. And I'll make sure you get paid, paid, paid. There's another story about a preacher who had a little dog, and he gave the dog a bone. And he said that dog enjoyed playing with that bone every day until the dog one day went out into the garden, dug a hole in the garden, in the earth, and buried the bone. Ever since that day, the preacher said, the dog was sitting at the rear window of the house, and he was watching that spot where he buried the bone. Even if a little sparrow landed on the spot, he went berserk, barking. And the preacher said this, don't miss it. From the day he buried his bone in the earth, he didn't have any peace. The Lord has given you something great to serve Him with. You know what it is? You say, it's my hands. That's true, but there's something greater. He's given you your heart, your affection, your love, your thoughts, your motive. And He's saying, if you bury it on the earth, you'll be miserable. But you send it on to heaven, you've got something to look forward to, some glorious day. So I ask you, listen, where is your heart? I'm not asking where's your service. I'm not asking what are you doing. I'm asking where's your heart? Is it here or is it there? Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let me hold lightly the things of this earth. Transient treasures, what are they worth? Moths can corrupt them, rust can decay, all their bright beauty fades in a day. Let me hold lightly temporal things, I who am deathless, I who wear wings. Let me hold fast, Lord, things of the skies, quicken my vision, open my eyes. Show me thy riches, glory, and grace. Boundless as time is, endless as space. Let me hold lightly things that are mine. Lord, thou dost give me all that is thine. So I close with this. And I know I've said it over and over again. I repeat myself so much it's ridiculous, and I know that. You know, if I didn't repeat myself so much, my messages would probably be 15 minutes shorter. I know what you're thinking. Lord, help him to stop repeating himself. You know why a preacher repeats himself? You got it. Emphasis. If I repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, you might get it. You know what it is? You know what it is? If your treasure's here, so is your heart. And if it is, your vision's blurred and you're serving mammon. But if your treasure's there, so is your heart. And your eyesight's clear, you'll have light in your body, and you're serving God. If it's here, it's going to waste away. Nothing. If it's there, I don't know what all that means, but I only know that God said if it's there, there's no thief going to take it. There's no rust going to corrupt it. And there's no moth going to eat it. Don't you want the Lord to give you some rewards when you get to heaven? Amen or not, folks. Then make sure your heart is sent on ahead now. That's it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Help us, I pray. May thy will be done. Help us to serve you and please you and glorify you. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. She's beginning just to play through softly tonight. We'll have no singing. We'll just play through softly if you don't mind. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Are you really a child of God? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Do you know without a doubt that heaven is your home? Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I'm saved. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I am a born-again child of God. I'm not relying on anything I've done. I'm relying completely on the finished work of Christ on Calvary. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Would you be honest? If you can say that, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. You say, I'm saved. I know it. God bless you. Thank you. Is there one tonight? Say, Jody, pray for me. I don't know that, but I'd like to. I don't know I'm saved, but I'd like to know that. Is there one? I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to call you out. I promise you that. Is there one tonight? Would you say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm saved. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Anybody at all? Let me ask you this question. Where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's your affection? Where's your thoughts? Is your eye healthy tonight or is it diseased? Are you seeing clearly or are you seeing double? You serving God or serving mammon? What are you doing? The Lord is so interested not only in what we do, but why we do it, friends. May the Lord help our motive to be right. May our buried treasure be in heaven, not on earth. Maybe God's speaking to you. If you'd like to come, Father, take it and use it in a great way. Speak to our hearts and help us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around except myself. If you want to come and pray and talk to God, I want you to come. Come on, come talk to the Lord. Say, Lord, help my eye to be single. Help me not to be double vision. Help my vision to be clear. Help me not to be unstable in my ways. Whatever the case may be. Maybe some of you want to come, and I'd like to do this tonight. Some of you want to come and pray for the cantata, that the Lord will speak to hearts and that the Lord will help people to who are invited to come. Come on. Come on now. You say, John, I'm going to come pray for that. Come on. Let's pray about this. Let's pray for the cantata. Let's pray that God will work and God will move and God will speak through the cantata. Let's pray for the prison service Sunday night, that God will speak through it and save people and change people's lives. Let's pray about these things. You know, it's one thing to do things. It's another thing to have the right motive. It's another thing to depend on God for His help and His guidance and His power and His love and His mercy and His grace. Maybe you want to come. Come on. Let's talk to God about it. Let's pray and talk to the Lord. Let's talk to the Lord. This is all about the Lord Jesus. This is not about me. It's not about this church. It's not about Brother Gary. It's not about the choir. It's not about any person. It's about the Lord. Let's pray and talk to the Lord. Father God, we love You tonight and thank You for the privilege to pray. As we're gathered here, those who are still in their seat and those who are gathered around the altar, Lord, we want to beg Your power upon this place. Lord, we thank You for the power of Your Word and how You speak to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that You help us to take the message tonight and apply it to our lives. Help us never forget that our heart is the main thing in Your sight, and You want every bit of it. I pray, Lord, that You help us to be faithful to You. We pray for those who are invited to this cantata on Saturday night, Sunday night. Pray that You divinely work in their hearts and help them to come. I mean, may they show up. Pray for those who will be listening live. I pray that as the message is brought out in song and through the drama team, that it'll be so clear and so plain. We pray that Holy Spirit conviction will fall upon hearts and save people. Pray for the prison service Sunday night, that You'll touch it and breathe upon it and bless it. Be dealing with those precious prisoners even as I speak. Be preparing their hearts for what they're going to hear. Keep Your hand upon this church and the work of it. And help us as we're trying to get the gospel out. Help us to do a better job of that. God, help us, I pray. Oh, God, we need You. We want You. And I pray that You remove all hindrances. And may You be praised here. Proclaimed here. May You be preeminent here. And I pray, God, that You'll be honored through it all. Bless us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. You can look this way. She's playing through. Brother Wade, if you want to come, we'll take care of these few missionary items here. We'll be on our way in just a moment. While Wade's making his way, I want to remind you, there's been a lot of work going on around this place. I'm talking about the choir working hard, Brother Gary, this prison ministry and all the work done there, the cancer ministry, all these things. We need our emphasis always to be a single vision. Our vision is not to be blurred. Our vision is not to be divided. This ministry is not about me, is what I'm trying to say. The choir cantata is not about me. It's not about Brother Gary. It's not about the choir members. It's not about the drama team. That's not it. It's about our vision is upon the Lord. And if God is exalted, what did He say? He said, if I be lifted up. I know that's talking about salvation. I understand that. But you know that also applies to all of life. You lift Him up around this place, He'll draw people to Himself. And I want you to pray that God will be lifted up That's the only way people are going to be saved. You understand that? It's not if the drama team does good or the choir sings every note correct. That's all good. But unless God shows up, and unless the Lord is exalted, unless He is praised, it's all in vain, friends. I'm preaching to the choir there, right? I hope you'll be praying about these things, okay?